From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is Cool Science Radio.
Science and technology that's accessible and entertaining.
If we can understand it, you can understand it.
I'm Lynn Ware Peake.
And I'm John Wells.
The TetraDapt initiative began over 10 years ago when founder and visionary Dr. Jeffrey Rosenbluth dreamed of a better and more aspirational way to deliver the latest technology for adaptive sports and recreation to people living with spinal cord injuries or disease. TetraDapt works in coordination with the University of Utah's best engineering, research, business, and medical minds to design, manufacture, and deliver state-of-the-art equipment and devices to individuals living with paralysis. Jeffrey Rosenbluth, the medical director of the Spinal Cord Injury Acute Rehabilitation Program at the University of Utah Health Sciences Center. He joins us today to talk about TetraSki. He's currently in Breckenridge, Colorado, where he's doing on-mountain training with this piece of technology. Dr. Rosenbluth, welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Thanks for having me on with you. I appreciate it.
Well, it's great to have you back. And for those that have not heard of this technology, I think I have the gist of it. If you have a serious spinal cord injury, all other sit skis in the pass are in the control of the person who is assisting or the person that is helping. And this is the first time your product is different because you give the power and the control back to the person so that if it is a joystick or if it is a mouthpiece that allows them to maneuver the electric ski, that's the major difference, isn't it?
Yes, specifically folks with very high levels of spinal cord injury where they don't have movements of their legs or their trunk or their arms. And so they would not be able to use any of the traditional equipment that's been out there for years. So this is the first time that those individuals really have not just freedom, but performance. The ski performs at a very high level, and they can do that with really someone that's with them, certainly, but really just there in case there's any problem.
You know, it's so exciting to watch the YouTube videos because you can sense the enthusiasm and the excitement on the skier's part as they're able to have control and going down to the mountain. What sort of reaction do these people have as they leave the slopes and go back to their regular lives? How has this helped them in their regular lives?
Yeah, I think this is the best part. I think many of them have skied before, but in more of a dependent fashion. So that first run with some of this equipment is always emotional, that restoration of freedom and having some control again with that degree of paralysis is really something special. And I see folks get back into a lot of the things that they wanted to do before. They want to know what else is coming down the road, what other sports, what other activities that they can be a part of and do at a high level. And so it seems to be very motivating for folks. We have some folks that are in skilled nursing facilities. That's where they live most of their lives. And so bringing them out and having them come out regularly where they didn't do that before, didn't feel like there was anything for them, has been a really amazing experience.
It's really amazing technology, Jeff. And you must be so excited, especially when you see first it tested and then really hitting a lot of adaptive programs around the nation, I think, last winter season for the TetraSki. Talk to us a little bit about how widespread it is. How many adaptive programs are using it currently, or is it just kind of getting out there?
I would say it's still just getting out there. I don't think the world needs 10,000 of these. Yeah. I think if there were 50 to 100, everyone who wanted to be able to have access would be able to. Last year, we had a nice donation from a grant from the Craig H. Nielsen Foundation. So we were able to build three additional skis, and we actually sent a ski to the East Coast, a ski to the Rockies, a ski to the West Coast, and trained specific instructors with a special training in the device. And we're able to get that really widespread and introduced to a lot of people and a lot of programs, adaptive sports programs.
So I'm wondering if a paraplegic could use this as well. I mean, even though they would have use of their arms, it would seem to me that, you know, there's a lot going on. There are a lot of moving parts, and without the use of your legs, maybe even for paraplegic, it would be nice to have this little tube that you either blow into or suck depending on which way you want to turn the ski.
Yeah, no, I think this is a great point. It's skiing is tough, and this ski has a little bit more stability. It gives you a little bit easier access to the mountain. In fact, in Europe, almost half of the adaptive sports equipment they use are for people without disabilities, just to give people access to places that they wouldn't normally go. And I think this has a lot of potential for that, for any type of spinal cord injury, or even folks that are maybe older and have blown out their knees and their shoulders and want to be out there with their kids or their grandkids.
That is a wild concept. What an interesting thing. And so talk to us a little bit about the specific technology of, it feels funny to say that there's this tube and you either blow into it or suck on it, depending on which way you want the ski to go. But
Sip.
Yeah, I know. It felt weird saying that. but talk about how it actually transfers to put the ski up on edge.
Sure, yeah. So if you could picture some skis that are a little bit more wider than you would picture it with someone standing on them, and there's a little electric actuator, so a little power device on each ski, and so each ski can be moved independently, and there's an electronics box and a battery, and we really have just a very simple straw. It's not very dramatic. It just sits there, and you can just reach over, and just a little puff of air, the slightest puff of air, starts to control the ski in one direction, and a little sip in controls it in the other direction. And then you can do double puffs and triple puffs and sips to have other sort of advanced features with the ski as well, to really help control turn shape and accommodate for more steeper terrain or more mellow terrain, and do that all, again, independently.
If you're just joining us on Cool Science Radio, we're having a conversation with Dr. Jeffrey Rosenbluth. He's the medical director of the Spinal Cord Injury Acute Rehabilitation Program at the University of Utah Health Sciences Center, and we're talking to him about Tetra Ski, which is a product from the company TetraDopt. And just to go through a quick definition, TetraDopt is based on the word tetraplegia, which is also known as quadriplegia, and that's paralysis caused by illness or injury that results in loss of all four limbs and the torso. And paraplegia is the same, but it does not affect the arms. Is that the difference?
Yeah, no, that's really perfect. And it doesn't have to be completely affected. You can be incompletely affected too, and just have some weakness, and not full loss of your strength.
Okay. And correct me if I'm wrong. Again, the control is given to the skier. The power and control goes back to the person that is in this very special chair. They can puff, or they can sip to control it. They also have the little toggle switch, but also there is a remote control so that somebody on the mountain, either skiing behind them or in some other location, if they start, because one of the YouTubes, this woman was heading kind of towards the trees, and she made this great turn at the last minute. I don't know if she made it or if her helper made it, but isn't there some sort of remote control there too?
Yeah. So there's a sip and puff for the skier, but for folks who have some upper extremity function, there is a joystick, and both the sip and puff mechanism and the joystick are very similar to what they're usually using on their own power wheelchair. So it's not really a big leap to understand the technology for them and really start skiing very quickly. We have a remote control that the instructor has for a few reasons. One is to show what a beautiful turn looks like. If you've never skied before, you need that to be modeled for you. But also, people sometimes sip instead of puff or puff instead of sip and head the wrong direction on a narrow catch track. You don't want that to happen. So instead of having some dramatic safety rescue happen, all you have to do is just tap this remote control, which has the same joystick that's on the ski, and just steer someone really out of danger and then let go again and give control back to the skier.
Mm. That's nice to know there's a little safety backup there. That makes me feel feel good. And then of course, you also have someone on a tether for sort of safety backup reasons behind the adaptive athlete. How many athletes have... do they ever cut loose from that tether, that they've gotten to the point of proficiency that they're able to do it on their own?
Yeah, no, I think it's not. I think there's plenty of people who are proficient to do it alone. I still have a fear of a catastrophic failure of the system, you know, the electronics, and then it would really be, it's not the kind of ski that would just fall over on its own. It would just accelerate. And so for the time being, I think having a tether that's there just in case. The tether has no control over the ski. It's a pure emergency brake. I think we'll have that for a while until we have additional redundant systems. I also think on a big powder day, where there's a big run out at the bottom and there's very little confidence of hitting anything, I think this year we're ready to actually try a few runs without the tether.
Oh, it's exciting. So the Tetra Ski has been tested extensively through the University of Utah Adaptive Sports Program, also known as TRAILS, which I'd like to hear more about in just a moment. But I'm wondering what you're doing in Breckenridge right now.
So, yes, so every year there's an event called Ski Spectacular, and it's a large national event that brings students and instructors from all over the country to really share techniques and share strategies, look at equipment, and get out there and learn. So it's the biggest event for instructors to learn how to ski. And so we're putting on an event for new Tetra Ski instructors to give intro rides for people who have never seen it before and to also have students be in the device as well. And I'll give you one quick story. We actually have a lady who had only one limb. She had part of a lower extremity and a foot. We actually put the joystick under her foot, and she actually skied independently with just her toes.
Oh, that's fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing. That was the first time we'd experienced that.
So they start at the top of the mountain. They're making some turns. They get down to the bottom. The ski is pretty close to the skier is pretty close to the snow. So it's not at the right level to get onto a lift. How does that all work, getting onto the lift?
Yes, so there's a gas strut that's underneath, just like with your hatch on your trunk of your car. And so it actually provides a little bit of boost, about 100 pounds. You go right up to the chairlift, you just scoot right up there. And then an instructor on either side just provides a little bit of up force, and it actually lifts higher than the chair. And the chair just basically scoops it up. It's really simple. It's not dramatic. We have this chair run at full speed at the bottom, full speed at the top, a little push at the top, and then we're off and we're ready to go.
I'm just amazed. I know that Lynn is too, with the University of Utah, with the programs that they have to help people get funding or maybe learn how to get a patent or write a business plan or to hook up with other partners and those sorts of things. I mean, the University of Utah is really an extraordinary university for, excuse me, helping entrepreneurs, isn't it?
Absolutely. This is what I find super special about working there. We have a fairly compact campus, and it is just so amazingly easy to work with engineers and computer scientists and the business school and have everyone come together on a very regular basis and make something happen. You know, not just be in a silo, not just have a single research project that doesn't go anywhere, but there is a commitment to take this technology, move it forward, and then get it out there so that people can actually use it in real life.
Yeah, we just love that about the University of Utah, and we talk to them quite often, the Center there for Technology Commercialization. They also work with a bunch of different businesses. So wonderful that we have that institution so near. Wanted to ask you about the 2019 World Para Alpine Skiing Championships in Kranjska Gora, Slovenia. I believe you were there also with the Tetra Ski.
Yes. So last year in January, we brought the Tetra Ski to Slovenia. We wanted to introduce it to the world and also to the possibility of competition in the future. In the Paralympics, there are very few events for folks with more complex disabilities. In fact, there's really nothing on the skiing side, and so we were really interested in seeing if we could build some momentum to see if perhaps in one of the upcoming Paralympic Games we could have a demonstration sport with Tetra Ski and have a lot more people with a lot more diverse disabilities involved in the game.
Oh, that's great. And here, bringing it back home to Park City, does our National Ability Center have a Tetra Ski that they're using with some of their athletes?
There's only two Tetra Skis right now that we have, and we have another that are around the country. But we've done some collaborative projects before and have had some of their folks out in Park City on the Tetra Ski.
Great.
Dr. Rosenbluth, correct me if I'm wrong. I think
I saw a document online that said that you have funding of about $90,000 to date. Is that correct?
For the Tetra Ski, I would put that more at about $400,000 over about 4 years.
Okay.
Much of that was from the Craig H. Nielsen Foundation that funded really this pipeline approach, which is really gathering students together and taking technology and really moving it forward. And so we did that over a 3-year period. And we also had some additional funding for distributing those skis across the country.
And what sort of things do you need to, you know, that would help you accelerate the program? What are your needs in the way of people or in the way of money or in the way of resources?
Yeah. I think that the devices are very expensive, and a lot of the adaptive programs across the country are dealing with a lot of volunteers, a very low budget. They're not used to getting expensive equipment or new equipment. And so my dream is to continue to reach out and try to find some support to get an adequate number of skis across the country. And, of course, the skis are the first part. This technology is going into boats and to kayaks and to other types of wheelchairs. So these sort of high-technology, low-volume projects are going to need some support. Not that much, I really think, in the scheme of things. And I think we could really just really lead the world in leveling the playing field for people with really significant disabilities.
So for our listeners that would like to respond in kind or maybe would like to get more information, info@tetradapt.us, TETRADAPT, or you can give them a call, 801-893-1569. You never know who's going to call. Our listeners have lots of resources.
You know, that's great, and we would love to talk to you. It's not just about money. It's about partnership. It's about sharing the experience. It's about changing, I think, the culture of disability. And so I think just having this bigger conversation is wonderful, and I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and your listeners.
Well, we know how fortunate we are. We live here in Park City, and we love to go out and make turns, and we love to go out in the trails and hike and ride our bikes, and we like to get out on the boat as well. Here on the reservoir, and we know how fortunate we are, and we know what that means to us to be able to be outdoors and to get that exercise and to commune with nature and to hang out with our friends, and we love what you're doing, and we'd like to see if we can help you somehow.
Oh, I know, I really appreciate it. That's such a great point. You know, often in rehabilitation, we're working on getting the basics of people's lives back. You know, their mobility and their bowel and their bladder, but what people really want are the same things that we want, is to get out there and do all those fun things. And so it's been really fun to be a part of it, and thank you for helping to get the word out as well.
Well, Dr. Rosenbluth, you know, you're a busy guy. You're the medical director of the spinal cord injury program at the University of Utah, and yet you must, with only two of these Tetra skis that have so far been produced, you must be traveling, I mean, really around the globe. You went to Kranskagora in January, and you're in Breckenridge now. And yet I sense that it's really your passion. It's what you really want to be doing, maybe rather than, you know, being in the office all the time.
Yeah, no, yes, that's right. I like the mix. I really like working with folks that are newly injured and getting them back on board. But I also like the other side of it as well, after people leave the hospital. So trying to bring that all together, and also bring some of this recreation and sports that you normally think of as later after a disability, and bringing that to people sooner. There are folks that are in the hospital that have new spinal cord injuries that are back out doing some things on the water, kayaking, hand cycling, you know, within just a few weeks of their injury. And I just think that's been an important change for us in rehabilitation.
And that is really wonderful. Well, talk to us just a little bit about spinal cord medical advancement. You know, there's such amazing medical advancement, yet the spinal cord is something, you know, we just have not gotten to the point that we're able to give someone back their legs once they've severed their spinal cord, for example.
No, we're still working on that. A lot of folks have heard of stem cells and try to regenerate the nervous system. But some of the advances, I think, are more in the form of technology as well. There's electronic implants now that are restoring some element of sensation and motor function. These are in the early stages, but a lot more excitement on the implant and electronic stimulation side to restore to restore mobility.
Can only imagine where we're going to be 20 years from now with all the programs that are under development, and they're just starting to get some initial feedback that says that they're on the right track, and you know that this thing is just going to really accelerate. 15, 20 years from now, who knows what we're going to have?
Absolutely. It's a really exciting time to be in this field.
Well, we want to thank you so much for joining us on the program this morning. Again, we are speaking with Dr. Jeffrey Rosenbluth. He's developed a new sit-ski technology for para-athletes called the Tetra-Ski. And we want to thank you so much and wish you a continued success.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on your show.
Thanks, okay. Jeff. Yeah, that is just fantastic technology. Imagine the feeling of being able to sit in this chair and feel the wind on your face and be surrounded by the beautiful snow and the pine trees and do your little sipping and puffing to get the ski up on edge. As we know, I mean, you and I, we're trying always to get our ski up on the edge. You know, it's not always so easy, but when you get it up on edge, ooh, does it feel good?
Yeah, but there's something really special about this, because the sit ski technology in the past, all of the power, all of the control has been to the assistant, to the person that's been helping out. And now you're giving direct power and control to that veteran or to that injured person.
Yeah.
Who, it's got to be a great feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. So kudos to Dr. Jeff Rosenbluth, and we're glad he could join us this morning.
Thanks for tuning in to Cool Science Radio. If you missed part of the show or you want to share it, all our shows are posted within the hour on kpcw.org under the Shows tab.
We also podcast all of KPCW's Public Affair Hour shows wherever you find your podcasts, so you can find them under KPCW and the individual show name.
So look for KPCW Cool Science Radio and take us with you on your next road trip or commute. We'll be right back.